You're listening to the Bragman Breakdown Podcast. Here's your host, Jackson Bragman.
Welcome into NSL Talk Episode 2. My name is Jackson Bragman. I am joined by my co-host, Sean Choi, and we are in kind of a gray area as we are in between the NSL draft and we are in between the first match of the NSL season coming up at the end of April. But what is happening right now, Sean, as we are entering the final days of March, is March Madness. And we were talking a little bit before we started recording today, and you said that you put about 5 minutes into your bracket. You're probably the wrong person to ask about this. But that being said, I want to check in on you and your bracket and how things are going. And what was your selection process for the bracket before we get into to all things NSL today?
I had a couple small stake bets with my friends. So I jumped on the bracket as I feel like these are really a hit or miss type of thing. And I actually had Kentucky winning and I did a last minute switch to UConn. So thank God I did that switch up. Not that my bracket's looking good regardless, but I did have, I did change it to UConn, but yes, there's a world where I picked Kentucky and would be already out of the.
And believe it or not, my Oakland Grizzlies came out with the victory. I grew up going to the Oakland basketball games. They're about 30 minutes from my house. I could get tickets for $10. Usually I go with my friends. They had a beautiful like black, like hardwood court. Very, very cool playing in the Horizon League. So sparring with the likes of Cleveland State and other teams of that ilk. But yeah, congrats to Oakland. I think they played tonight again at 7:10 PM. So by the time this is up, more likely than not, you guys will know the result of that game against North Carolina State. But regardless, we're here to talk about the National Squash League, Sean, even though it is March. And much like we sleep in May when it comes to college basketball, we'll sleep in July when it comes to the NSL because we have a lot of content to discuss over the past several weeks. Since our first episode of the show, much has happened. And now we're going to have a lot going on over the next few months leading up to June 21st. The Arlen Specter Center will play host to the NSL Finals versus the two divisional champions in the NSL, whoever wins the North and South Division. The original six teams participating in the NSL this season. In the North, it is the New York City Knights, it is the Newport Dragons, and it is the Chicago Grizzlies. In the South, the Nashville Crushers, the Atlanta Tornadoes, and the Derby City Colts, Sean. So a lot to discuss with that and previewing upcoming matchups. That's not going to be the discussion we have today. We're going to talk about the teams and we're going to talk about the rosters in a future episode that will come out before the first match of the season. We are going to talk about some of those early matchups that we're going to be seeing in the regular season, which, by the way, we will be on commentary for, Sean. So I'm looking forward to that. And speaking of commentary, we were on commentary for the NSL draft in Nashville, Tennessee, a few short weeks ago, as well as the Team USA versus Team World exhibition. So what we're going to do today, we're going to do our team power rankings. And we are also going to have an interview with a man named Sam Sherrill, who is one of the great college squash players of the last decade, won his final 47 matches in collegiate squash, playing anywhere between number one and number four on the ladder for Harvard in his time there. Did not lose a dual match since his freshman year and ultimately decided the Pro Tour wasn't for him. And he's back now to play some NSL squash. It's a good balance for him where he doesn't have to commit to the schedule of a full-time pro, but he can still play NSL and obviously college teammates with Timmy Brownell, one of the founders of the league. And what a great interview we had with Sam, Sean. And then we talked to the first overall pick in the history of the NSL draft, the first ever NSL draft. It was Yusuf Ibrahim from Cairo, Egypt, from Princeton University, a man that is top 20 in the world and is looking to crack into that top 10 here by the end of the season. So jam-packed show for you today between power rankings and then interviews with Sam and Yusuf. But first, Sean, I want to talk about our experience in Nashville because it was a great weekend. Timmy and Spencer flew us out, which was a wonderful experience. And we got to provide commentary on Friday night for that exhibition match and then Saturday for the draft. What are some of your highlights and big takeaways? We're going to go behind the scenes a little bit here. In regards to draft weekend in Nashville.
Nashville was fantastic. I was thankful to Timmy and Spencer for having us experience that. And I think, I mean, the biggest thing was to see that match, exhibition match in the format in person. And Jackson, I was going to say that a lot of people were thinking that was scripted out there because with how close it was, and I was glad to see what the format at its best could look like, and we got to see it in person, got to commentate it in person and see it. So it was fantastic overall of an experience, and I really, really did appreciate how close it was with Team USA also taking the scalp, considering a lot of the pre-talk was about how Team World was so stacked and Team USA did not have a chance.
Right. And Ramitana was the lowest ranked player on Team World, who was ranked higher in terms of the PSA World rankings than Timmy Brownell, who's the highest ranked player for Team USA. So it shows you that the PSA rankings, not always the best indicator when it comes to who's going to be most successful at the NSL format. And that was reflected in the NSL draft. Teams and owners did not go chalk. They did not just pick the players with the highest rankings when they were on the clock. And that was certainly reflected came Saturday, the following day, when we had the draft. We're going to do our power rankings in a minute and preview those teams. But in terms of Nashville, it's a great time. And I figure maybe as requested by the boss man, Timbo Slice, perhaps we can do a little chronicle of the weekend from our perspective, from what were the commentators up to? So we get into Nashville. Sean and I met up at the airport. It's the first time I've met you in person. We've had a storied podcasting relationship. We're arch rivals for years and years and years, even though Sean is typically kicking my butt in the ratings. And so but Sean and I are always I've always kind of had each other on our radars, and we've hopped on one another's pods a few times here and there. And so it was great to meet Sean in person. And yeah, we met up at the airport, Ubered on over to the courts, and throughout the weekend, a lot of nice little like moments and chats with Sean. I think it was that Friday night we called the exhibition match. We came, we did some media stuff, and then we called that exhibition match. Thrilling. As Sean said, it literally came down to the last point. I think Victor rattled off two or three points in a row, which I mean, it you would think based on what I'm saying, it did sound scripted, but these guys were so into it. I mean, Timmy was playing his balls off, really. And it came down to the last point. The clock expired. It was tied up. And Timmy hit a beautiful rail down the backhand line, absolutely glued to the sidewall. And Victor couldn't scrape it off. And Team USA won it on the final point. I think Team USA won pretty convincingly that first period. And then Team World kind of figured things out in the second period, and it came down to that Victor Cruin versus Spencer Lovejoy kind of duel in the final 8 minutes of that second period, and ultimately very evenly matched in that third and final period. Remember, the first two periods are 20 minutes, that third period 30 minutes, you get an extra substitution, an extra power play, so much going on, so much to keep track of in that third and all important period. But yes, Team USA did come out on top. We had a beautiful kind of like little banquet with some country music and a great dinner at the Montgomery Bell Academy School, where the event was held. Shout out to Dylan Cunningham, who's the new pro and squash coach for Montgomery Bell, who's really expanding squash and building squash in Nashville. And that's one of the NSL's goals, is kind of growing squash in a lot of these smaller markets. New York and Chicago, squash has a presence for sure. And in Newport, it does here and there. But really, in terms of a Nashville or an Atlanta, kind of building the presence of squash in those cities, and Louisville as well. And Lee Scott's at the Louisville Boat Club, where I've played in the past. But yeah, Louisville would like to have more of a squash presence as well. So that's been great, and we got the full Nashville experience, Sean. We got all country music that Friday night, and then one of my favorite parts of the weekend, Friday night, we're in the hotel, and we were just kind of chopping it up about all things. About, at the NSL, about college squash, about just general squash and banter and life. And I enjoyed that a great deal. And you were really filling me in on what's going on with college squash and some lore and different things, because I'm obviously doing my show with Gilly now, which has been a blast. And so you, but you really know a lot more about college squash than I do. I'm just kind of getting into it this year. So that was a pleasure. And it was a nice kind of Friday, and that led into Saturday with the draft, which was a great success as well. So, it was a really, really fun weekend, and it was a pleasure calling the action alongside you, Sean.
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic time, a fantastic meeting you in person. I think it was funny. I think we really got thrown into the fire as soon as we landed.
Right.
We didn't even get
Absolutely.
to put our bags back at the hotel. It was immediately get the Uber, get there, and
I was
then
barely allowed to
immediately.
use the bathroom. They were like a little bit they were not pleased that I had to make a 60-second bathroom run.
And it was fantastic. I've never been to Nashville, but it was quite the introduction. I think I was on the same flight with Ramit, and there was a was a bachelorette group coming in, so it was a pretty rowdy flight, and realized that Nashville might be the place for those type of parties. And yeah, it was fantastic. And then Saturday was the big draft day, and it was good to also catch up with Leslie there. First time meeting him, he was our big MC for the draft night,
Ryan
and
Leslie.
just seeing how this whole thing was put together was fantastic to see. And obviously, we're still in the pilot era, I'd say, and there's a lot to be improved upon. But just to see the amount of passion and effort that goes into something building something new was inspiring to say the least. And to be a part of that at its beginning was fantastic. And I'm just very appreciative that we got to be a part of it. And obviously, there were a lot of mistakes that were made. I could say for certain on my end, there were a lot of mistakes that was made on my end. And hopefully, as we progress, we get better at it. But ultimately, it was fun, and we're there for squash because we love squash and we all are passionate about the sport. And to have two players, Spencer and Timmy, start an initiative behind it is just great to see. And I'm really excited to see where this is gonna blossom it, what's it's gonna blossom into.
Yeah, no, the future is promising, and I mean, to your point, like, I mean, yeah, both of our first times doing squash commentary, so there's a learning curve, and there's a learning curve for everyone involved. Is Timmy and Spencer, as well as Fernando, who's the league commissioner, have been poring over details of this, trying to make sure that everything was accounted for. They did the beta match in Louisville about 10 months ago now, and now in Nashville, want to make sure that everything is right for the weekend. And given that it was everyone's first time doing something like this, I think that they did an outstanding job. There's a lot of interest for new teams next year, and it sounds like there's certainly going to be expansion when it comes to the league next year. There's potentially going to be a women's league as well, which is absolutely fantastic to hear, and get the ladies involved in this project as well, which I think is absolutely tremendous. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the future of NSL and where things go. And it was a great weekend in Nashville. Yeah, just lots of great conversations with lots of cool people. And I think you find that squash has it's just a great community of people, and everyone likes to help each other out. Everyone's happy to talk squash or talk about anything. And I just had a lot of like great conversations with different players or different just different people involved on the project, and it was just kind of a cool thing because a lot of these guys are squash royalty, and you're just chopping it up with them like it's no big deal. So yeah, that was very cool. MC Leslie and the three of us grabbed a little lunch on Saturday before the draft, a little barbecue, which was nice. He's filling us in on some more lore. There was a lot of drama that I got caught up on. I'm a bit of a drama queen, Sean. So I'm akin to Bill Buckingham in that way, who's our fellow squash podcasters. I want to hear the inside scoop on everything. So it was good to hear all that as well. But yeah, fun weekend in Nashville, and yeah, like I said, it was pleasure calling in alongside you, and of course some gaffes along the way. But as a pair, we're only gonna continue to grow and improve individually and together as well. And I look forward to calling that first match coming up April 27th, and then the finals in Spectre June 21st. Sean, it is power rankings time. Enough faffing around. We have all six teams power ranked, both of us. I'm going to give it a go. Sean is, in all seriousness, the expert in terms of he's watched a lot more of these guys than I have, and I feel like his expertise probably outweighs mine. I asked him before, do you think maybe we should just do yours? And he's like, no, Jackson, like the people want to hear your voice. I said, okay, fine, I will give my power rankings as well. So shall we start at the top or the bottom, Sean?
Ooh.
I think it's a bottom, and we build the drama and anticipation.
Let's all right. I'm
Okay.
due for whatever you want to do. Yeah, let's
All
do
right.
it.
Number six in your power rankings. And before I don't want to poison the jury here, so feel free to disagree with me. I feel that when I look at these six teams, if I were to put these teams into like tier rankings, I feel there's one team that's S tier. There's one team that's like A tier. For those who don't know, like tier rankings, like just the alphabet A through Z, and then S is the best. S is like superior. So I think there's an S tier team. I think there's probably like an A tier team that's really strong. And then the rest are B. The rest, like there's no team here that is completely outmatched. There's no team that is devoid of talent. None of these owners completely whiffed when it came to draft night. I think all these teams are good, and I could see a path for any of these teams to make the finals. And I'm not just saying that because because I'm trying to build the drama. I do believe that it's pretty evenly matched here. I don't know if you disagree with that, Sean.
I think you have a good point. I think the only thing was, I think we'd be remiss not to mention the Bernard Jama situation right now, who I think towards the end of the draft, I kept mentioning his name and no one picked him up. And then coincidentally, the week after, there's a pretty big PSA tournament where he beat the number one pick, Yusuf Ibrahim, and made it to the finals, and then closely lost out to Leonel Cardenas in the final in a pretty big event. I believe it was a PSA bronze. So I
PSA
think,
bronze, which is very legit, will be a good haul of points for him.
so I do think it's a bit of a shocker that someone at his caliber was not selected. But yeah, I'm excited to start with the bottom up, and I kind of do agree. For me, I think there's two teams that are a tier above everyone.
Sean, I do not want to interrupt you again before, but I just think it's important to provide context on Bernat here. Is as I understand it, my NSL sources are telling me that they're is interest from Team Chicago, who we'll talk about momentarily. Team Chicago was interested in picking up Bernard Jama, as there is a very high probability that their second round pick, the first pick of the second round, seventh overall, Leandro Romiglio from Argentina. This is not confirmed, but it is probable that Leandro is not going to be able to participate in the NSL this season, which could shift things around in our power rankings. I'm not going to ask you to reflect that in your power rankings, Sean. So give the power rankings as you were going to initially. I'm going to do the same thing. However, keeping in the back of our minds that Leandro may not be with Team Chicago this year, and the first person Chicago went to pick up off waivers was Bernat. And I think it's pretty safe to say Bernat was not flattered by this offer, was not pleased on draft night either. I heard that the NSL page on Instagram got some unflattering messages from Bernat as well, and he's pretty fired up. He was ready to play some NSL squash, and he's not, unfortunately, going to be able to participate, even though his ranking indicates that you'd think he would have been drafted probably in the first two or three rounds. But ultimately, that was not the case. So
I mean,
Bernat.
as he should be, he's a top quality player, and
Right.
just shocked that he wasn't selected.
Absolutely. So when it comes to Chicago, Faraz Khan is someone that Chicago is kind of zeroing in on potentially, as well as Ben Smith from England. So those are a couple names to keep your eyes on in terms of who Chicago may pick up off the waiver wire for the 2024 NSL season. And I felt it was just important to provide that context. So Sean, I will shut up now, and I'll let you tell me who your number six team is in your power rankings.
I'm happy to do so. Before I do that, Jackson, I did want to mention there's this interesting exercise I did on my own time this morning where I tried just adding up the rankings and the numbers of each player and have a total number for each to just to gauge what the level is at, which was an interesting exercise. Obviously, by doing so, the lowest accumulative of each team would be considered a better team. It was just fascinating to do that, but it's also interesting because as certain players don't play the PSA, they don't have a ranking, or some players have long-term injuries that they're coming back from. And I just put that as 100, but it was interesting to see those numbers reflect. But for six, I actually for my last place in the power rankings right now, I actually do have Team Newport. I'm curious to hear what team you selected
Sure.
before we dig
So
into
are
it.
your power rankings directly reflective of these
No,
rankings? Oh, okay.
it is not
Got
reflective
it.
of it, but it was just a good to gauge a bit of a intro of
Right.
how I should
Okay.
approach this power ranking
So
situation.
yeah. So the Newport Dragons, who have Ramit Tandon as their first overall pick, as well as league co-founder Spencer Lovejoy, who they took in the second round, Sanjay Jiva, and then the hometown gentleman TJ Dembinski, who is currently residing in Newport, and it works out really nice that he was able to play for his hometown team, which is kind of the one of the nice storylines of draft night. I actually had Newport five, Sean. So a little spoiler for my list. I personally took Atlanta sixth. I'm not sure where you had them. You don't have to reveal that now per se. Yusuf Ibrahim, the first overall pick. Great, fantastic players between him and Victor Cruin. We just interviewed Yusuf yesterday, which was absolutely fantastic. Great guy. He's clearly going to be one of the top two players selected here. Personally, I would have gone for Victor Cruin. I don't think it's going to matter a whole ton. It matters what you do with the rest of your roster because both of those players are so fantastic. I look at what they did here. Todd Haraty as a second round pick. Now, Todd is on a bit of a tear. Todd just beat Nicky Mueller in 5 games. He beat Ian Yao in 3 games. He's playing some outstanding squash. I don't know if he's quite at the caliber of some of the guys that were taken after him. I'm looking at a Rory Stewart. I'm looking at a Simon Herbert. Even a Sanjay Jiva, potentially, guys that I think would be worth a look. Virchow Trani is another one. All guys that I might have taken over Todd Herdy, kind of in the late second round, even though Herdy is playing some of the best squash of his career, coming off an injury last year. He's getting a little bit up there in age in terms of the pace of the NSL. You wonder how he's going to be able to handle that. Obviously, he's a tremendous player, is a former college squash individual champion, and has spent a lot of time as the U.S. number one on the PSA World Tour. So interested to see how that works out. But I don't think that was per se a bad pick, but I think that's one that we'll have to wait and see. And then you have Tom Walsh, who's been training at Kinetic, has gotten uber fit, working with Wael Hindy down in Florida, and is playing some really good squash, and is ranked really, quite high as, and but once again, as the first pick of the third round, I would have liked potentially Atlanta to make a little bit more of a splash. But I think the logic is, okay, you have Ibrahim, so let's get a couple guys that are really fit and that can extend rallies and balance out the roster. Obviously, the point of the roster construction in the NSL is you want to have attacking players that can be successful when their team calls a power play, and then defensive players that can defend when the other team calls a power play, and then guys that can go in and play. It's like in hockey. Some guys can, you're better on a 75-second shift. Some guys can go 2 minutes, or it depends. I'm not a hockey guy, so I don't know if those are entirely accurate timestamps, but some guys are going to be the Iron Man of the match, and some guys are going to be in and out in 5 minutes, and they're just going to try to run up and score a little bit. So just in terms of the way this roster is constructed, outside of Yusuf, I don't feel that I look at any names on this team and get particularly excited. So yeah, Yusuf Ibrahim, Todd Herdy, Tom Walsh, and Jeremias Azania, who I'm not too familiar with his game. Maybe you know him a little better, Sean. But I had Atlanta sixth, and the Newport fifth.
That's a huge shocker to me. Atlanta is not. I must say, Jackson, I'm shocked. I'm pleasantly surprised by your pick, and this is the whole point of these power rankings, is I value Todd Herdy's game very high.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was an excellent second round pick, but it's exciting because we have two different opinions here, and I think this is
That's how it
what it's all
goes. It's
about.
boring
So
when we
this is
always
really exciting. The
agree.
reason, yeah. So I did have Newport last, and to go into it a little bit, I really didn't see anything special about their team, to be honest. I think how I was approaching this when I was thinking about it was I really put Yusuf and Victor at a tier above everyone else in this entire draft, and I think there's good value to say why I'd say that considering what they've accomplished in the game, and also just seeing them in action, especially Victor in action. He was kind of a player that could just make the difference, and I think if a roster construction is either you have those two players already, I think puts you in a good spot, or you have a good batch of players either in the third rankings 30 to 55, 60 range. And I think some teams have a very well balanced out team in those ranking tiers who have a lot of experience in the PSA and their belts and who have been, performing very well over the course of the season or are veterans at this point. And I felt Newport really didn't have a hard hitter like that. Or, I mean, I could be completely proven wrong with how Spencer and Sanjay Jiva move up the rankings in the next couple of months. But as of now, they're a team that hasn't proven much to me. So it'd
Yeah.
be exciting to see, but I just couldn't give them out of, I couldn't do much of the assuming on this one as we're initially in the power rankings
Fair
at
enough.
our current time. So I
And
had
yeah.
Newport at six.
Yeah, and Sean, when you look at Newport, I mean, Ramat Tandon, he did struggle a bit in that Team USA versus Team World exhibition. He wasn't quite figuring out the format. He wasn't necessarily playing his best squash. But what we've seen from him on the PSA World Tour is a guy that on paper is perfect for this format, buzzes around the court, really fit, and also has hands like nobody's business. Plays at just a very, very fast attacking style play, as kind of the new wave of squash players from India are playing like. And we see that with guys like Veer, and even guys like Yash Vati from Rochester, who I got the opportunity to chat with, a few weeks ago here. And it's that's been great to see kind of the evolution of the Indian game from a guy like Sourav Gosal, who's also super quick and has great hands as well, but maybe is not necessarily as quick to take the ball in as some of his newer younger compadres on Team India are. So Yeah, I think Rahmed is going to be a great addition if he kind of figures things out here for Newport. What I do like about Spencer as the second pick, even though his ranking wouldn't necessarily reflect the fact that he should go with the eighth overall pick, Spencer is super invested in the success of this. I mean, he started this and he's kind of, helped pioneer this whole operation. And we saw him find a lot of success in that exhibition, especially in the first period. He was the MVP of the first frame, no doubt. He really put Team USA on his back there. And we see moments of him being so physical on court and being so talented at any given moment where that pick did not feel like a reach to me at all, even though some people may say that that would be the case. So, I mean, Spencer, in terms of powerful movers, in terms of fitness, in terms of defense, I think is going to be great for this team. And then, yeah, I mean, Sanjay, I'm just not too familiar with this game. So once again, I kind of defer to you where if you're telling me Atlanta is too low in my power rankings, honestly, I probably trust your opinion more than mine, Sean. So I'm not, I can't really, really dispute much. And yeah, I'm not too familiar with Sanjay and TJ. I know TJ was an outstanding player for the Yale Bulldogs and is a Columbus guy, which is just down the road from where I am in Granville right now. And it's kind of cool that he gets to go back to his home team, but is he perhaps on par of some of these other guys that were selected in the first round? Is he on par of a Sam Sherrill or a Shah Jahan Khan or even a Sam Todd, one of the best junior squash players in the last couple decades? So I think that those are questions that need to be asked. So yeah, I think we're in agreement that Newport is probably not going to be coming out of the North Division this year, but you never know because once again, I don't think the talent gap is huge from them and the other two teams.
I mean, I think they're a team of a long-term investment. They have younger players, and I think with how, especially how Sanjay and Spencer are moving up the rank, Sanjay is a very attacking left-handed player, and I think in terms of the NSL format, in terms of upside, I think he's a great selection. It's just with the current situation, I have to put them, I put them on the six.
All right, fair enough. So, Sean, who do you have number five?
Now, for five, I have Chicago.
I have Chicago four, so
Team
that works out nicely.
Chicago. And to go into it from my end on why I selected that team as the fifth is because there's nothing really outstanding, also nothing really outstanding about their team in terms of, I think they have a very good defense setup for their team, but attacking, I think they lack in that department, especially in the power plays. I mean, we did see Dougie have some success in the attacking department, but given the field of players that they and the caliber of players that this entire NSL league has, I would have put him up there as the top five best attacking players. And I think they have a good base, but there's also a bit of uncertainty with this team. I know there was some rumblings about Leandro's availability. And another aspect is Daniel Mekbib. I haven't seen him much on tour lately in the past year or two. So I don't know if he's kind of dawning on the next chapter of his tour. So he might be not as committed in terms of just training for squash and the Sam Todd as well. I know he's coming back from an injury. But in that aspect, there's a lot of uncertainties and question marks that this team needs answered. And if those questions are answered, I think they're a very good team. But right now, I just couldn't move them higher up the rankings as with the information we have so far.
Yeah, you said it, Sean. Probably the team in the NSL with the most question marks heading into this season, especially with the recent news that that their second pick, Leandro Romiglio, who at 33 years old is having the best season of his career from Argentina, that Romiglio is probably not going to be able to play for Team Chicago this year, has a lot of commitments back home in Argentina with various leagues and PSA competitions, and is obviously good for him qualifying for a lot of tournaments with his ranking that he perhaps didn't anticipate that he would be. So definitely something to monitor in terms of Leandro Romiglio with Team Chicago. But yeah, I would have to agree, Sean. When I look at this team, the advantage of having someone like Matias Knutsson, who we'll talk about later, of Virchow Trani, a Yusuf Ibrahim, who was an uber attacking player and has unbelievable hands and can really put the ball away is something that is really valuable in the NSL. And I just don't see that on Team Chicago. I see a lot of great individual players. I see a lot of very, this is a very strong and powerful team. I wonder, however, in the long term, if the team is balanced enough and this team is constructed well enough. So yeah, Mekbib is obviously a super talented player, but like you've said, I haven't heard much of his name in the past year. He looks like a bit of a grizzly bear himself, so it's a good fit for the Chicago Grizzlies. And then you have Sam Todd, who I'm a big fan of. as well. And you know, as I kind of mentioned, I mean, at 16 years old is competing on the world stage in PSA events against some of the world's best players. So I think he's someone that people have been talking about for a long time, despite only being, do you know how old he is, Sean? Is he 20, 21? I mean,
He's
is he even that old?
current. He's 21 years old. He at his height, he reached around, I think, 73 in the rankings, and he's been out for the past year with a big injury. I'm not sure exactly what the injury was, but it seems like pretty big considering he hasn't played in the past year. And I do know that, I mean, if you follow on his socials, you do know that he's back and I think he's on the trail for the comeback. But to throw him into this right away, there is a lot of uncertainty on that end, which is why I
Absolutely.
put him in that list here.
Yeah, fair enough. I also went with Chicago just above Newport at number four, with Atlanta down at number six. And Sean, do you have Atlanta as your number four team, or are they're even higher up? They're in the top three. Wow. So who do you have at number four, Sean?
Number four, I went with Team New York. And as someone who's from New
Wow.
York, people might have accused me for putting them at one, but no, I didn't go for the bias pick, Jackson. I put them at four. I think right now in the top four teams, the quality is high all around. I think all four teams right now it could go either way. But the reason why I picked four is I think there's some question marks surrounding Mathias Knutsen right now. I think there's a lot of hype around him, and I think that he's a very exciting prospect. Who I'm really excited to see in the PSA for the next 2 seasons as he's coming back from an injury as well. And just an exciting player, loves squash, really passionate about it, incredibly attacking player, but also a very gutsy player, as if you've seen him throughout the college years. So he's someone that is going to be a great team player. But at the end of the day, there's also he hasn't proven much on the tour yet. And I'm sure he's eager to prove a lot over the course of the next couple of months. But as of now, I can't give him much credit as other players have accomplished a lot more. And Augustus Sword, I'd say fantastic caliber player, but in terms of first round picks, he wasn't the top of the crop. And having him and Matthias there, I didn't put as high quality. And then there's Rory Stewart, which I do value highly, but he was the third round. And at that point, I think it kind of melts into everyone in that 30 to 50 range. And I think he'll mix around there. And then Sam Sherrill, fantastic, which we interviewed. Incredible player, but at the end of the day, he's not a professional player. He doesn't train to be a professional player. So it's interesting. I'm very fascinated to see how he stacks up. He could completely prove me wrong because I know I believe his level should be top 100 at the least. So we'll see how it differs. But it's a team that I'm going to be rooting for as someone who's based in New York. But I couldn't put them higher than four in my books.
That's very interesting, Sean. I'm actually going to save my thoughts on TBU New York for a little bit later, but we did joke that this is the tallest team in the NSL. When you look at Auguste, who was the fourth overall pick, as well as Matthias, who went ninth, which was a bit of a shock, and then Rory Stewart in the third round. I don't think anyone anticipated Rory Stewart going, double digit picks. Right, that was a confusing way to word that. I don't know why I worded it like that. Going probably a dozen picks later than Mathias Knutsen, I don't think anyone had that on their bingo card. And then Sam Sherrill, very interesting prospect out of Harvard, really talented player, and elected not to play on the Pro Tour out of college. I'll save my thoughts on New York. Sean, why don't you give us team number three for you in the power rankings?
Team three, I picked Nashville. If you're talking about very like well-balanced out team, I think they're probably up there and most well-balanced. I think Timmy has proven and he's moving up the rankings quickly. He's ranked from this week's rankings, he's ranked 38 in the world. And the difference between him and Juan Vargas, who's 44 in the world, is a crazy prospect to think about in terms of the gap between their first round and second round pick. I think they've got an incredible base. I think Timmy is surprisingly a very tricky player to play against, and he showed that in the NSL format, who is a very well-balanced and attacking and reading the game. And I know you value Simon Herbert very highly, who's
I'm a
also
big Simon Herbert guy. Yeah.
56 in the rankings, and then Ronan Palmeiro, he's very outside there. He's like 167 in the rankings, but at his highest, he was up to 70 in the world. So in terms of closeness in everyone's skill level, I think that team is great. There's no one with a question mark on that team, in my opinion. I think everyone's going to perform that on that team, and that's why I put them at three. I didn't put them in the top two tier because, unfortunately, I value Victor and Yusuf very highly.
Yeah, I also had Nashville number three. Timmy with that third overall pick. Same thing as Spencer. I mean, really committed to the success of the league. You know, he's going to show up hungry for every single match and want to put on a show and want to win. And important to note too, for all these guys, I mean, they're not just playing for kicks. There are MVP bonuses involved. There are bonuses for the champions. There's a bonus for making the finals at Spectre, and then for, a bigger one for being the champion ultimately. So there's a lot on the line here financially, and then in terms of pride as well. We talked to Yusuf yesterday, and in the interview that you're going to hear later about being the first pick in the history of the NSL draft. That was a big deal for him, and to be the first championship-winning team in NSL history is going to mean a lot to a lot of these players. So really interested to see how that pans out. But yeah, for Nashville, I just like this team a lot. I think, Vargas, I have a special place in my heart for because I have watched that Trinity All-In documentary from 2013 about 7 or 8 times in the last 2 years since I found it on YouTube. And he's one of the star prospects from that team, and ultimately has gone on to have a very successful pro career, where once again, a theme with a lot of these guys is either they're super young and promising and have a lot of room to grow as players, or we're seeing guys kind of not necessarily in the twilight of their career, but in the middle stages of their careers, at least in their prime, or at least in the midst of what a normal prime would be for a PSA World Tour player, and they're at their highest world ranking. So we talked a little bit earlier about Todd Haraty playing some of the best squash of his career. And then we look at Vargas as well, who's and Romiglio was the other one. I'm like, who's that talking about earlier? Romiglio is also playing the best squash of his career right now at an older age. And Vargas is the same way. I mean, Vargas is absolutely killing it, having a great season. And like you said, Sean, up to 44 in the world, one of the top Colombians in the world right now. So that has been really, really good to see from him. A super, super nice guy, and so good for him, and loves to kind of fly all over the place. Timmy's a bit of a tactician who's going to work his opponents from corner to corner, and like you said, very deceptive, very tricky to play against. And then you juxtapose that to Juanca, who has that nonstop pace. And then I just love Simon Herbert. I wonder if he's trained in Egypt at some point, because he has such an attacking style game. I made the joke on draft night that he doesn't like to hit two straight drives in a row. That is not his game at all. He likes to mix in the cross, and he likes to go for as much as he can, putting the ball into the front court. And he's not going to float it into the front court like a traditional Englishman. He's going to flatten the ball into the nick any chance he gets, for better or worse. And very, very exciting playing style, and looking forward to seeing how his game transitions to the NSL as well. And then Ronaldo Palomino, I got a little bit of an inside scoop from my teammate, Juan Felipe Hernandez on the squash team, who plays number one here at Denison. And Juan knows Ronald's up to 70 in the world last season before an injury, and now is kind of coming back. But Juan said, I mean, he was really playing at a top 40, top 50 caliber. He's coming from a biased standpoint, of course, but Juan is always very impressed by was always very impressed by Ronald coming up. He actually thought he was a better player than Matias, and he knows both of them very well, and is and likes both of them a great deal. So interested to see kind of how Nashville's taken a flyer here on Ronald coming off injury. We'll see how he fares in the NSL. I like this team a lot. I could absolutely see this team playing at Spectre in June. I think they have a very, very good chance to do so. I have them number three as well. Sean, what do you think about number two? Who do you have number two? There are obviously only two teams left. Maybe before you get into number two, you can recap who you have and where, and you can go from six to three and
So
everything
we
like that.
to recap it again, I have Newport at the six, Chicago at five, four, New York, and then three, Nashville, and then now it leaves us with two teams. And I checked at the beginning of the podcast, I remember I previewed that I did the math exercise of adding everyone's rankings up. And having whichever team had the lowest number. And it's interesting that the top two teams I have right now between Derby City and Atlanta, there's only a 1 point difference in the accumulative rankings. So when I added them up, Derby City was 224 with Victor at 11 in the world right now, Charlie at 69, Vera at 94, and Shah Jahan Khan 50. And Atlanta with Yusuf at 16, Todd 52, Tom Walsh 66, and Jeremiah being 91. So it's crazy to think about that. It's 224 versus 225 in the total numbers. But enough of the math nerd talk here that I'm doing. But I did pick Atlanta at two. And the reason why I did that is because I think Yusuf is going to be an it factor. I think he's going to be someone who will just change the dynamic of the game and of this NSL format with how great of an offensive player he is. And I think that's what the owners valued as well. I don't think he performed the best in the exhibition match, but regardless of, I think there's a lot of upside on him. And with Todd Herity, it's funny that how you mentioned him earlier about your doubts on him. I actually go the complete other direction. I think he's probably the most proven player in the second round. I mean, to get scalps over Omar Mossad, Nicholas Mueller, Ian Yeager are around perennial top 20 players or top 15. I think he might be the only one who's consistently gotten these results, especially as of late, and with you could say there's some veteran status, but I think he's got a lot left in the tank, and his ranking probably within the next couple of weeks are going to even move up further. So I rate his game very highly. I think he's a very strong base player, and I think he balances out with Yusuf very well. Tom Walsh coming from England now in Connecticut, I think it's fantastically. He's got the solid basic English game, very solid base, good length, good movement, checks all the boxes. And I think with Kinetic and the work they do with their players and how easily they move up the rankings, I think he's done an amazing job moving camps over there. And Jeremiah at 91, I think also in the Kinetic camp, good team chemistry, I'd say too. So I think it's a greatly balanced team. And just in terms of player caliber, I think they have one of the better teams, just straight out. And which leads me to the number one team, Derby City. This team has got to be the best team on paper. I mean, it is the best team on paper, and also, in my opinion, is the best team. The way Victor was able to just showcase his level at the exhibition was an eye-opening experience for me. I knew how good he was, but the way he could just navigate and kind of control the game, whether I had a bit of confidence because I remember the third period that Team USA had the lead and they put Victor in. I knew Vic, you could see it in his eyes. Victor knew that he was the guy who could make this close, and he did. And I'm sure he was disappointed,
And not to mention
probably.
that second period, he had a big comeback. I mean, it was him versus Lovejoy kind of for that last 8 minutes. And I think Sam was up, or not Sam, Sam's his brother. Spencer was up 7 points, 6 or 7 points. And then Victor ended up winning that period convincingly in a matter of 8 minutes. And the first period, you saw he struggled a little bit. And I was kind of watching him in between periods. And he had that look in his eye, like, I'm ready to go. And he was a little bit ticked off that things didn't really go his way in the first period. And like I said, a bit of a learning curve, but he really figured it out by the end. And I think he's going to have a special year for the NSL. He would be my MVP pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, talk about just a straight up competitor. I think he's up there. I mean, the things he's doing, I think from next week's ranking, he's going to be back in the top 10 as he belongs. And if I think they're the best team, you bet Victor thinks he's probably got the best team in the NSL as well. So I think top quality player with Victor, probably the best out of the NSL draft. I'd say the one question mark would be Charlie Lee. We know how good he of a player he could be, but he's coming back from injury. Now he's kind of fallen off to 16-9 in the rankings, but again, it doesn't even matter because your other two players, Veer and Shahjahan Khan, are also top quality players. So the one question mark there is already immediately answered. And if he's healthy, then this team, I think, is just an outright winner. Veer is coming off the individuals win in college, so in the perennial best college player in the season. And I mean, he's just such an exciting player to watch, has a great balance of attacking and base. So I think he's going to be fantastic to have. It's like a mini version of Victor right there, who's coming up the rankings as well. And Shahjahan Khan, what a shocker of a fourth round pick, ranked 50 in the world. Yeah, you could say he's fallen off a bit in the past two seasons, but regardless of, he's still 50 in the world. And to have him as your last pick is insane to think about. And I don't know, this on paper looks like the best team to me, Jackson.
Yeah, Sean. Yeah. And you mentioned Team New York earlier as your team number four. I had Team New York number two. You already talked about them, so I'll keep this brief. I actually like Auguste Desordre a great deal. I had him third on my big board, just ahead of Timmy. I know you had him fourth, just behind Timmy. And Timmy's a special player, absolutely, and is climbing up the rankings. But I mean, Auguste just beat him in three a few months ago here and played some outstanding squash. Is, I mean, talk about power on court, talk about poise, talk about kind of mental strength, as you kind of have alluded to me, which I wasn't too familiar with, likes to play some mind games. But what I saw in that match was just a steadiness throughout, where he didn't, as Mike Way kind of likes to say, as Sam Schürrle told us, which I've been thinking about a lot in the last 24 hours, you don't want to get up for a match, or you don't want to play up to your competition, or you don't want to rise to the occasion. You want to stay steady and you want to be consistent. Auguste Desordre is consistent, unbelievable hands and ability to put the ball away. And there's a reason that his ranking as a top 30 player in the world reflects that. am super impressed by his game, and I think he is going to be a very valiant leader for this New York City team. Perhaps not on the tier, to your point, of a Victor or a Yusuf, and perhaps I had Atlanta too low, underestimating the importance of having a strong number one to close out matches. I mean, if you're talking about that last, if you throw Yusuf Ibrahim on there on court for the last 9 or 10 minutes against a guy like a goose to sword, obviously Yusuf is going to have a goose outmatched 8 or 9 times out of 10. So I think that is something to keep in mind, that if I could go back, maybe I would flip around. But really a big fan of a goose. And then probably my favorite person to talk to during the weekend in Nashville was Matias Knutsen. He made me a fan of his. I was really impressed talking to him, and then kind of just watching him throughout the weekend, and then wasn't too familiar with his game, but I went back after the draft and kind of watched some of him play. And I saw him play in Cleveland at the Bronze tournament that was held there the week after the NSL draft, and he played some outstanding squash. Actually took the fourth round
Shahjahan.
pick for the Derby City
Yeah.
Colts, Shahjahan Khan, number 50 in the world, 2-5. So, like you said, Matias coming off injury, so not fully healthy. His ranking isn't where it should be. He's just outside the top 100 right now, but expect that to change. In 365 days, there's a very good chance that he's going to find himself top 60 or top 70 in the world, because he is that kind of player. And not a bit of a surprise, I think, to most, given his ranking, that he went ninth overall, but not to me. And then Rory Stewart at the with what was it, the 16th overall pick from Scotland. I actually watched his match back against Ramat Tandon ahead of the NSL draft, and it was a lot of fun to watch both of those guys. Highly entertaining match, two very exciting playing styles, and a big dude. As we mentioned, the tallest team in the NSL are the New York City Knights. So looking forward to seeing some of the shenanigans that he brings to the New York City team. I think he's really going to like the format. You told me, Sean, he's very big on he likes playing with the crowd, and so I think that that the NSL obviously is very crowd oriented, and we'll see how he likes that. And then some Earl, who I was really impressed talking to yesterday, and really enjoyed, uber fit, and sounds like he's stayed in shape, and he's still training 3 or 4 days a week. He's not training like a professional, to your point, so we will see how he fares against some of the other pros. But Sam Sherrill was a part of that initial beta match in Louisville back last May, so he knows this format well, and he seemed to hold his own back then. So we will see how he fares in the NSL. And then obviously, I think number one for both of us, and we agreed on this on draft night, and it has not changed. Derby City is the best team. There's a fair amount of margin there when you look at the Derby City Colts. Victor Kruen, the best player in the NSL, is on this team. Charlie Lee is on this team, who is coming off an injury. It sounds like he's going to be good to go by the start of the NSL season, but he's not nearly at 100% yet. So he's still in kind of the recovery process. There is a chance that Derby City will need to go to the waiver wire to replace Charlie Lee. But a guy who before his injury was playing in outrageous form, picked up a win over Mohamed El Shabagi and was taking scalps, as Sean likes to say, and was playing really good squash. Veer Chautrani, I just had the opportunity to watch him in person a few times at the College Squash Individual National Competition, which was an absolute joy to be a part of. I saw his semifinal match against Nicholas Baziri, who's the number one player for the national championship winning Penn Quakers. He made light work of him in 3 games. And Nick is such a cerebral, such a smart player, really talented. Above a 7.0 rating on US Squash, just like very easily could win individuals in any given year. And Veer just absolutely chopped him, and then played Mohamed Sharaf in the finals. Those two are absolutely PSA caliber players. They're playing on the high tin, which made it more entertaining, longer rallies. But don't be mistaken, they still found a way to put the ball away consistently. And some of the shots that Veer hits, and some of the deception, and some of the holds, and the way that he's taxing the best players in the world, is unbelievable. So I can't. I mean, just was such a fan of his game, such a humble, down to earth guy. I got to talk to him a little bit after the match, and obviously that comes after an interview that he did on episode one of Talk NSL. So make sure you don't miss that. If you missed episode one, make sure to go check that out. I interviewed him and Matias Knutsen together, which was a lot of fun, and yeah, it was really great to finally see him in person for the first time. And then Shahjahan Khan is a guy that was ranked 25th in the world, like 400 days ago, just over a year ago. This is a guy that was 25 in the world, has dropped a little bit, but is still playing at a top 50 level, is still getting quality results on the tour, and maybe he'll find a little bit of mojo when it comes to the NSL format. I think it's a very wise pick as the second to last selection in the draft. So I think Derby City is just far. I mean, I just love this team. I could not be more impressed, and with the job that they did drafting. And I think that they're going to end up taking the South Division and find themselves in the final at Spectre Center. And that'll be a, I mean, that may be the matchup to highlight this season between Derby City and Nashville. I think that there are going to be fireworks in that one. Victor Cruin versus Timmy Brownell. We got a taste of it. The two Harvard former teammates going at it in Nashville at the Montgomery Bell Academy, and we're going to see it again in the NSL regular season in a more competitive environment, which I am strongly looking forward to. I think Derby City is certainly in that S tier of teams, Sean, and I think they're going to be the favorites heading into the 2024 NSL season.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Again, Jackson, why don't you do the list from 1 through 6 or 6 through 1 again,
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
people know.
Sure. Good shout from you. I had Atlanta number 6. That may be a selection that I would rethink if I were to do this list again. I think Sean did some good convincing, so I think that the value of a Yusuf Ibrahim is really great, and then to have Todd Herity on that team as well, who's playing some great squash, is a really strong prospect. And then number 5, the Newport Dragons. Number 4, a lot of question marks for the Chicago Grizzlies. We will see how that pans out in the coming weeks. Number 3, the Nashville Crushers. Number 2, the New York City Knights. And number 1, led by Victor Cruin, the Derby City Colts, who will play in Louisville, Kentucky at the Louisville Boat Club. And Sean, how about yours one more time?
Yeah, I'll go down it again. Newport at 6, Chicago at 5, New York at 4, Nashville at 3, Atlanta at 2, and 1, Derby City.
Awesome. All right, Sean. Really good stuff from you, per usual. And why don't you preview the couple of interviews that we had today? We chatted with Sam Sherrill, who is the final selection for the New York City Knights, as well as Yusuf Ibrahim, the first overall pick for the Atlanta Tornadoes.
We got a real wide range of rankings in those two,
Yeah.
and then as guests. But no, it was fantastic talking, chatting with them, and having their perspective, especially with Sam. He's a bit of a more mysterious character, and I think it was good to shine some light on him, as people might not know what his squash might look like, and to just give him a bit of shine and how good of a caliber player he is. And he's no joke of a pick, so I'm glad that we got to have him on, and also Yusuf. And it's great to see someone at his level of play being this committed to a league like this. And I think it speaks volumes to not just what Timmy and Spencer have been doing, but how bought in these players, and if the top 20 player in the world is bought into it, why shouldn't you be? That's how I think about it. It was great to interview those two.
Absolutely. Really good stuff. Sam tells a good story about how he watched the draft on live stream to kind of see if he was going to be selected. And one thing, a teaser, is Sean asking the hard-hitting questions to both Sam and Yusuf. Are there team group chats that have already been made for the New York City Knights and then the Atlanta Tornadoes? And interesting answers from both Sam and Yusuf. So you're going to want to make sure to stay tuned for that. Yeah, two really fun interviews. And once again, a really fun draft weekend in Nashville. The whole thing looked great. Timmy and Spencer kind of told me a couple months in advance, like, this is the real deal. It's going to look really cool. And I believe them, but it actually did definitely exceed my expectations. And it was a pleasure to be a part of that. And it was really, really, really a cool opportunity as we're looking forward to the first ever NSL season. We will have at least one more NSL talk for you guys before the start of the season, April 27th, which will the season will conclude less than 2 months later in June at the Spectre Center. Short season, two regular season matches for each team, and then the finals if they can make it there. So, Sean Choi, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon with your power rankings. And here are our chats with Sam Sherrill and Yusuf Ibrahim on episode 2 of NSL Talk. All right, we are now joined by a man who is one of the greatest college squash players of the last decade, and he was the 21st overall pick in the inaugural NSL draft by way of Harvard University. It is Sam Sherrill. So, Sam, thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon. And I want to start with an interesting tidbit I heard through the grapevine this week, kind of prepping for this interview. And I want to confirm with you if this is true. I have it on good authority that during your collegiate career, you never warmed up for your matches. And so with all of the substitutions in the NSL and the play that's at such a rapid pace, and you kind of go on court, you don't have any time to ease into anything. You just kind of, have to figure it out very quickly. This would put you at a very big advantage. So I thought this was a very interesting piece of information.
Yeah, thanks for the warm introduction, Jackson, and great to be here. I would say that there's definitely a grain of truth in there. I warm up substantially less than a lot of my college teammates. For college matches, I would do a good 15, 20-minute warm-up, which is where I tended to max out. I would say in juniors, that warm-up was cut a little bit shorter. The classic joke on the team was Sam does 10 jumping jacks and then he plays. I would say not totally accurate, but directionally right. And yeah, I think definitely with the NSL format of needing to get on and get off very quickly and kind of not have time to ease into it, I like that style of play a little bit more. Like to play a little conservative and kind of ease into rallies regardless. So yeah, I found that that was a nice perk of the format.
Sam, how do you? I was going to start off by, I mean, talk about a little tidbits about Sam. I am also aware that you are one of the very few people, or probably might only even be the one, that was able to beat Mustafa Sall in the junior days. And
Yeah,
that should
one and
be.
oh record.
Oh, so he's undefeated and on Mustafa Sall's record. So I
That's
just
something
wanted to
we all have in
kind
common. We've all never lost to Mustafa Sall before.
of, kind of
Yeah,
wanted to ask
good
you
company.
about that before. I mean, there might be audience members out there being like, who the hell is Sam Sherrill? But let's give you some street cred here. This is a player of no joke. So
For
want
sure.
to start off by that one.
Yeah, I appreciate it. No, I luckily had a. I think I played him before he hit a pretty major growth spurt and kind of. I think I actually played him right on the cusp of when he was really starting to make waves. He was 14, I was 16, so a bit of an age advantage. And it was right before I think he really improved and got a lot stronger. And then I think once he hit like 15, 16, he started having some pretty exciting results. So I was lucky to get the chance to play him when I did, and no one was more excited when he got to world number one than I was, and immediately sent a picture to all my friends and family. So I always am rooting for Mustafa Sall for that reason.
Rising tide lifts all boats. So you're a part of the quest, and so now your win is validated, of
Exactly. He
course.
wins and I
Exactly.
win. It's a
There you
great,
go.
great relationship.
Yeah. So have you, by the way, have you talked to him since?
Yeah, I've seen him a couple of times. We coached together a little bit and we
Nice.
hung out for a couple of weeks. Super nice guy. And
Okay.
he uh
That's what
he
everyone
uh
says. Yeah.
yeah, so I really, really enjoyed rekindling with him a couple of years later.
Nice. And I hope you brought it up.
Oh, I
Of course.
mercilessly.
There you go.
And then
Absolutely.
we were playing a game and I had some condition. He could only hit to the backcourt and I could hit anywhere. And I won the game and then I took off my shirt and threw it in the crowd and did one of his celebrations. I wanted him to know what it feels like.
Great homage. Well,
Yeah.
congratulations on that. So you're 2-0, it sounds like,
Yeah,
in an unofficial capacity.
with heavy conditions.
Heavy conditions,
Jackson,
but
I think you
yeah.
should edit that part out and then just say how Sam was talking about
Yeah,
you
exactly. No one
and
needs to know that, Sam. No one needs to know that. So looking at the transition from college into, I guess, after college, I mean, you were a phenomenal college player, like you said. I mean, one of the best in recent years. You win three national championships. You're playing for this team we've talked about a lot, doing my show with Gilly this year. We've talked about this Harvard team a lot that you were a part of. That's probably the greatest college squash team of all time. And Sean actually knows a lot more about college squash than I do. I'm really just getting into it this year. And Sean has filled me in a lot about kind of the history of this team. And we've gone up and down 1 through 9 of these guys. And you had Timmy playing number 6. You had George Crown playing number 7, who made it to the finals of individuals last year. And so you have all these outstanding players, and you're playing in the top three for this group consistently. And in that top three, you concluded your college career on a 47 match winning streak, which is genuinely just mind-boggling. You didn't lose since your freshman year. All these accolades, first team All-American, two-time Ivy League first team, et cetera, et cetera. But after school, you decide to forego the Pro Tour. So what was the reasoning behind that decision? And then why did you feel like now is the right opportunity to participate in squash at the pro level in some capacity with the NSL?
Yeah, I loved playing in college. I loved playing all through juniors. I think when I was, you know, I never was considering it that seriously of taking, of really trying to make it on the pro tour, I think for a combination of reasons of, you know, it is a major step up in terms of training and intensity and the wear and tear on your body. And I think, you know, it was going to reach the point where I loved having a, you know, a hard training session during the day. I loved playing matches on weekend. I always loved competing. I think the amount of training that's required for the pro tour just would have been passed in a point where I would really still love the sport. I think that's what it mostly came down to. And then, you know, I think I appreciate the kind words on the college career and, you know, loved competing in college, found it to be a super fun level. Luckily had some players who were ahead of me that luckily pushed me a little bit down the ladder and, you know, didn't have to face off against those top guys, which I think helped a lot. And I think part of it was also thinking, you know, how my game translates to the pro level, like what would be a realistic goal, and the combination of those two, of not necessarily seeing a way to be in that top tier of pro players who I think are just so much, so strong on all fronts in terms of fitness and shot making and just like creativity on court, not quite seeing that delta for myself there. And so I think it was that combination that that made me not really want to go pro, but I still love to play. I play, you know, 3-4 times a week, train hard, do tournaments. And I think NSL provides really the perfect venue for players like myself. TJ Demdinsky is another perfect example of players who loved playing in college, played at a high level. And then you don't find a lot of middle ground or, you know, opportunities between full-time pro and more amateur events. And so I think the NSL incorporating kind of more local players and also some players who might not be full-time pros like myself and TJ was really great for us. And, you know, it's fun for us to see how we stack up against these guys who are on tour all the time. And I think gives us a great opportunity to continue to, you know, work towards something in our squash careers.
Sam, you were never tempted in this beautiful winning streak you had over college where this type of mindset you had changed throughout, where you were like, maybe perhaps I do have a shot, or were you pretty like, I know where my level is at, and I don't like, have you stayed consistent with this thought, or have you been tempted the other way?
I never really have been tempted, honestly, because I think I've had exposure. I had enough exposure to what the training schedule is like of a full-time PSA player. And
I'm sure having Victor there.
Yeah, like through Victor, through Marwan, just through, you know, during junior squash, I went and trained with a couple of pros sometimes. And I just saw that delta. And listen, like, you have to be intense to play junior squash. You have to be intense in college squash. The level of dedication and focus these guys have on their squash and having, you know, you get injured, your career is in jeopardy. Like that kind of stress and focus on your body and performance never really appealed to me in the same way, but have so much admiration for the people who can do it. And obviously I'm friends with a lot of guys on tour and I think it's incredible what they do.
Yeah, I guess in terms of a little bit more just about you and your mindset on court, obviously the NSL, it's a little bit more exhibition style, but you want to win, you want to compete. And this mm-hmm. is, you know, it's important to, you know, there are bonuses for the winners and there are all these advantages and you want to play at the Spectre Center come June. And when it comes to you and maybe dating back to your college days or when you've played these competitive tournaments, we mentioned the kind of the lack of warm-up, but in all seriousness, how do you mentally go about preparing for competition? And this is something I'm thinking about right now with my squash at a much lower level, is in terms of what's the protocol beforehand. Is, you know, do you go on and you're ultra intense and you say, I'm going to go kill my opponent, or do you mm-hmm. kind of take a more relaxed approach and kind of say, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to bust my ass for however long it takes, but I'm going to have a good time. And I'm also going to mm-hmm. try to enjoy my squash and feel the ball and try to be as relaxed as possible. And I guess, have you seen that vary, you know, kind of as you look up and down the ladder on your college teams over the years?
Yeah, you know, I think that's something that Mike Way, the Harvard coach, really focuses on, is kind of that competitive mindset and how you toe that line between high level intensity, but also not being wound so tight that you actually can't compete at your best. And, you know, he uses a phrase a lot that you'll hear Victor talk about, you'll hear Ollie sometimes say in interviews, of, you know, stay the same, don't rise to the occasion, just you have to have the confidence in the work you put in during training, during preparation, during warm-up to be at that same level, because you can't really expect yourself to rise to the occasion and, you know, have the big match when your team demands it and the match is on the line. You're probably going to play about average, you know? And so you have to have the confidence in yourself that your average level is good enough to win. I think the way that I incorporated that into my game is, you know, always my mindset is just make every point tough. Like, don't go through lulls. Don't give up cheap points. It's just, if you don't lose the point and you make it very tough to beat, you make yourself very tough to beat and put away, you get a lot. And I think that especially in the college game, which has become, I think, pretty physical, and often you're just grinding out these tough matches against a long, you know, middle tier of players who are all very similar levels. You have a real kind of concentration of depth in college squash. And so I think that mindset of what I always tried to focus on in college and juniors was just like, don't let yourself get beat. You know, you're going to be the easiest person to beat yourself. And if you make it just tough and stay in every point and have that kind of calmness, like not calm, but maybe like level-headedness, just like it's consistent, it's never ending. And you don't go through lulls. I think you find you win a lot of matches like that when your opponents are more up and down. And I think that translates well, hopefully, to the NSL, of just there's so many more dynamics you can have with being down, with being on a power play. And I think generally when you try to do too much on a squash court, you end up losing. And so that's always been my philosophy, just stay the same, play the points the same, and good things will happen.
Sam, I'm curious to hear, what were you doing when you heard the news that you got selected by Team New York? I'm sure that was an ideal situation for you, but.
Yeah, I was on a ski trip with some friends, and we were out at a bar, and so we were all crowded around the my phone, streaming it on YouTube and trying to hear if they said my name and trying to hear based on the intro. And it was getting late in the fourth round, and so I knew when New York came up, I said, I think I'm from New York. I've got a good connection to the team. This is one of my last good shots. So it was starting to get a little stressful, but then I celebrated with some friends. So it was a good draft experience.
Yeah, I'm sure it was tedious. Yeah, go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
Was there a team that you did not want to be selected by?
There it is.
No, I mean, I would have been really excited to play anywhere. New York's great because I'm local, and you know, I can have friends and family watch, and I know the squash landscape better, but. I was on Team Chicago last year in the initial Chicago versus Louisville event. I really got to know those guys well and liked hanging with all of them. I love the Louisville people and the other places. Never been to Nashville, would have been fun to go. Atlanta, also never been to. Mm-hmm. So, and Newport, I've been to, but yeah, pretty easy to get to and nice area. So I would have been happy going anywhere. I'm just honestly, like, being in the fourth spot, especially, I think, potentially the way it's looking like attendance, I think there's a good chance I'll be playing one or both weekends. So just happy to get on the court and be able to represent New York.
Absolutely. And you're there from the start, from the beta match back in Louisville about a year ago. And now here you are. And when we look at this New York Knights team, Sean and I, I'm sure it was a tedious task trying to listen to us on the broadcast, but we did talk about a little bit how you guys have the tallest team, that you've got a few giants between August and Matias, and I mean you've got a couple titans there, and it's a big team. Who's the third pick for you guys? Did you guys get a McBib
Rory
or who's
Stewart? I believe
Rory Stewart.
Oh, and Rory is absolutely massive too. So that's a big old team.
I think I'm the shortest on the team then.
I think that's probably the case, but we're talking about that and how we really like New York personally. Sean and I are going to do our team power rankings later in the show. I think that you guys are going to win the North Division. I think this is a really good team in New York. How do you feel about your team? And then maybe give us a pitch for why you guys are the best team in the league and are going to be hoisting whatever trophy. I don't know if there are designs for a trophy in the works right now, but how you guys are going to find yourselves champions June 21st at the Spectre Center.
Yeah, no, I think we've got a super talented team. I think we've got a lot of different styles of play. I haven't watched Rory too much, but August is super fit, super, you know, super recovery on court, like so quick and dynamic. And I think Matias, as you guys know, is one of the more impressive shot makers and has one of the best set of hands on court. And so, you know, and I think with me and Rory rounding out the pack, I don't know Rory's game too well, but I think that's the beauty of the NSL when you have players of different styles that can really fit in certain situations. You know, you have your guy who you want on a power play, you can get hot, and maybe that's Matias. You know, and you have your guy who the match is tight, you really just need to grind out a couple of points, maybe that's August, and you know, maybe I fit somewhere in the middle, hopefully there. And I, you know, Rory also same. So I think we've got a lot of different styles of play, which translates well. I'm not sure how much the height is going to help us. But you know, it could be an intimidation factor when we meet all these other teams in person.
Yeah, that is what Sean was saying.
How's the
fear factor?
How's the team chemistry going? Is there a group chat that's been made? Have you guys been chit chatting?
Wow, great question.
Been pretty separate so far. I mean, we're early days still, but wanted to check in on that.
Yeah, I've mostly been talking to Matias. We know each other from juniors. I've never actually met August or Rory, so don't know them as well, but Matias and I have been super excited. I know he's also been doing some of the social media, I think, for Team New York, and so he's super engaged and brought in, and I think having a great year on tour. So excited to play with him and get to know the other guys better.
Awesome. Well, Sam, thank you for taking some time with us today. Pleasure to talk to the 21st overall pick in the first ever National Squash League draft. And like you said, there's a very, very high probability that you're going to be suiting up for a very strong Team New York at some point or at all points this season. So we look forward to watching you and Sean and I commentating on some of your NSL action this year. And best of luck this season with the New York City Knights.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you guys for doing this and creating all this great press around the NSL. I know all the players are super excited to be part of it, and everyone's looking forward to a great inaugural season.
All right. We are now joined by a man with a very impressive resume, but his latest great feat is being the first ever draft choice in the history of the National Squash League from Cairo, Egypt, a man that is perennially in the top 20 and is looking to make a push here into the world top 10 by season's end. It is Yusuf Ibrahim. Yusuf, thanks for taking the time to join us this afternoon.
Thanks, Jackson, for having me. I'm excited to be on your podcast, and I'm excited to answer all your questions. And
absolutely,
thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so let's start with draft weekend. You're the first overall draft choice in the history of the National Squash League, and we'll get to that in a second. But I just want to ask you about the weekend, because it was a lot of fun for Sean and I providing commentary. But you guys had a lot of media stuff going on, a lot of cameras being shoved in your face. We saw you out on the turf in Nashville at the Montgomery Bell Academy indoor football / soccer turf. With the football throwing competition, and so I'm curious, how did you fare in that? And then what was kind of your experience like over the weekend? It was a pretty eventful, jam-packed weekend in Nashville.
Yeah, I honestly was. I mean, I was surprised of how big it actually was. I thought it was going to be a pretty cool event and really big, and that's why I signed up for it in the first place. And I think I was actually, Spencer was telling me like we want to make the exhibition, and I think they were planning on doing it like in April. And I said like it would make sense if we like make it in early March so that all the tournaments are in the US. It'd be easy for me and Victor Ramit and all the internationals to like, you know, be in the US. So I was really excited for it. I was looking forward to it. And once we got there, it was so much fun, to be honest. I think it's really fun to like within the pro tour to kind of like have these bits of fun every now and then, because you don't get to do that very often, and to do it with like, you know, teammates and also like, you know, pros, current pros is a cool feeling. And I was really happy with how it went about. I think the exhibition was so much fun. It couldn't have been any better. I think it was the perfect scenario. I mean, we didn't plan it that way, trust me, but
the scripted loss
came in the last point.
We did lose, but I think it was
drama.
I think it was fun. It was really fun. I think the event was fun, the food, I think the community was really awesome, and I think it has a lot of room, as I said. it's really cool to be part of it.
Yusuf, I mean, I feel like as someone at the likes of you or Victor, who are definitely in the higher ranked on the PSA, who are looking to go deep in these platinum events, I think it's massive that the NSL were able to get you, but it's also a huge belief factor on yourself. But like, what convinced you to join a league like this? Because it is a kind of there is a risk factor considering how many tournaments you need to balance out. But what really convinced you on this, on the pitch that they were able to give you to it? Or did you, or is this something just of a favor that you're doing? What got you jumping on this project?
I think the main thing, honestly, is that we're all like, you know, squash lovers, and we would love to, you know, just, you know, make squash as big as possible in every country we go to. And I think especially in the US, it's been growing in the last couple of years massively. But if we can get a chance to make it even more proper, then obviously I would love to, you know, just, you know, support that. And I think the first thing that came into my mind is that it had to like not be in conflict with my pro schedule, because if that was the case, then probably it would have been possible to do it. And I think when I talked to Timmy and Spencer the first time, they said like, well, we're going to try to do everything we can to sign you up, you and Victor, and just make the schedule, you know, just as comfortable as possible for you guys. And I think once we did that, it was really easy for me to just say yes, because I looked into the format and I thought this is like sort of like squash, but it's probably the easiest way for Americans to understand that, since like it's really close to like the NBA and like the NFL and the draft. And it's like, so I thought like the whole, you know, package was spot on, and I just wanted to promote it in any way possible. So yeah, it was fun. Also, me living in the US for the past 5 years, I think it was easy for me to just say yes, because I live in the US so much now. And yeah, it's just it's a cool project to be part of.
Right. So you mentioned that, you know, the way it kind of turned out and was the way it was set out to look like was akin to almost an NBA slash NFL style format and an NBA slash NFL style draft. You also say you're living in the US now for the past half decade. Are you a fan of any of those leagues? Do you watch a lot of pro basketball or pro football, or outside of squash? What are you watching mostly for entertainment and then for sport?
I do watch actually a bit of basketball. I do not watch a lot of NFL. I do watch the Super Bowl though, but I do not watch the NFL league. I watch some of the basketball games. I watch ice hockey as well. I think those are my two top American sports.
A lot of people have said that the ice hockey rules are probably the most similar to this kind of new NSL format, with the power plays and the substitutions and the different shifts and the way that you have the three periods. What hockey team would you say you support the most?
Honestly, I don't have a favorite team. It's just that I'm not like, you know, watching a team specifically. I just watch any match that's going on, so I'm not really like that knowledgeable to know which team to support. But I
think my favorite NBA team is the Lakers. It's always been, so I do.
Okay. The Lakers. Why the Lakers?
I used to love Kobe Bryant a lot, man. And I think since then it. I just fair. Kept supporting it. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yusuf, one more question before we get into the NSL stuff, which we will. But I'm curious, all this U.S. talk, and given your history with the U.S. and given the Olympics and given nationality changes, are you tempted to change nationalities or maybe move to the U.S. here for the Olympics in 2028? Wow, my take on this.
You're putting me on the spot here.
Is there anything in the works, or maybe just you moving to the U.S.? I don't know what the situation is, but
yeah, I think I'm like, I'm not like fully moving. I think a huge part of it is my brother obviously lives there, so it's easy for me, and I've been working with the U.S. Strength and conditioning coach, Bridget. She's helping me a lot with the, you know, with my injuries, and I'm trying to play as pain free as possible. So I try to just use that time to be with her as well. So I think I live like, you know, half of the season in the US. I mean, from December to March. So I would not, I mean, I'm not going to say that it's like, I'm not really sure if it's going to happen. And obviously the Olympics is huge, but to play, hopefully I can, you know, just play for, I would want to play for Egypt, obviously, but I'm not sure what's going to happen. So it's in the next couple of years, a lot of things are going to unfold, but I'm just gonna plan to just play for either for now.
Yeah, you could wake up tomorrow. I mean, Yusuf, you could wake up tomorrow and just make with the snap of your fingers, you could go from today, just being, you know, a member of Team Egypt versus tomorrow, you're instantly the greatest U.S. squash player of all time. Just snap your fingers and make that happen. It's something to think about, definitely. So that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't want to take the easy way out.
Of course, of course. Yeah. Yeah, and you put in a lot of work to get to this point. And obviously, playing for Princeton, number one all 4 years, and Ivy League Player of the Year, and all the accolades, and it goes on and on and on. But yeah, it's something for fans to monitor, perhaps. But I want to ask you about the NSL, you know, going back to kind of the draft, and it was, you know, great to cover it alongside Sean. And you're the first pick in the history of the National Squash League. You came to the broadcast desk after the draft had concluded to kind of do an interview with Sean and I alongside Matthias. And we asked you about this a little bit already, but I was hoping you could talk a little bit more in depth about what it means now that you've had a couple of weeks for it to set in, now that the scheduling is becoming very real and you're probably starting to organize different flights and hotels and like figuring out like, you know, where you're going to be, and you're going to be a member of Team Atlanta, and you are going to be, you know, forever for whether the NSL is around for 2 years or if it's around for 100 years, you will always have been the first pick in the history of the NSL draft. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot, definitely. I think I heard a couple of talks before it actually happened, and I was asking, like, you know, I didn't really, I mean, I knew what's going on, but I was like, you know, is it really possible that, you know, I don't think I'm going to be the first pick. And I was like, oh, Team Spence was like, oh, for sure, we know that you're saying. And I think I just didn't feel, I felt like as soon as it happened, I felt really like the buzz, and like, I think the crowd, there are so many people showed up too. And I think it just shows how different, like, how different people think about, you know, the format and stuff. And I think a lot of the, you know, the players that are in the NSL, and, you know, a lot of the owners, everybody's talking about, you know, how important it is to have, you know, an attacking player. And I think they're all like mindful of this. They would probably rather have someone who can score more points than actually someone who can defend as well. And I think like there's a good balance between the two, because I've played the format, and it really is different than the normal game. It makes you like, even for an attacking player, it just makes you makes you out of your comfort zone, because like you try to think about the time and all that stuff. So it seemed that people were expecting me to be the first pick. I didn't expect it, but I think it's an honor to be the first pick. It's really cool. And I think, as I said, like for this project, that hopefully in the next couple of years, we can get, you know, the top 10 players playing it, and we can get the schedule sorted out. But yeah, it's an honor to be the first pick. And I'm happy I was the first pick.
Yeah, that's the goal. And you edge out a man that perhaps this is Sean and I stirring the pot. You tell us if this is not true, but this is our job, is to create storylines for the season, is, you know, your longtime rival, Victor Cruet, who you played many times over at Harvard, and you played in the individual national championships a couple of years back on the high tins. You lost 12-10 in the fifth to Victor when you guys, I believe you were fresh off a Windy City Finals appearance, and then you come back, you're playing college squash on the high tin, which is just unbelievable. And you guys are in the same conference, Derby City and Atlanta, so you guys will square off. Is that a rivalry to keep your eye on, potentially? And you know, I'm sure it felt good for you to go one spot over Victor in the draft this year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Victor and I, we go actually way back. We've played in the World Junior events as well. I think I played them in the Poland World Juniors. I think me and Victor, we go way back. We played a lot in college squash. I think my senior year, we played twice. We played at Princeton, and we played in the individual matches. And him and I, we sometimes, you know, banter about like how I think I was like saying like, oh, that match was probably like one of the, you know, hardest losses I've had like during my, you know, college career, because I wanted to win so badly, not just for me, but for the team. And I think my senior year, I was playing probably like at my potential that people were expecting me to play. Like, I think I struggled a lot with balancing both academics and squash for, you know, especially freshman year. It was really hard, but then it, you know, it got easier. So I think I felt like I was in my element, and I was like super tired in that individuals, but I was like, oh, I'm just going to keep pushing and keep pushing. And he just played an amazing final, to be honest. Like, I think if he played a little worse, I probably would have got him, but he just like, he was so hungry to win it too. So it was, it's great to be part of that rivalry. I think, Victor is an extreme professional, and I do admire everything he does on the squash court and outside the squash court. We have completely different personalities, and game styles as well. I think he's a very attacking player as well, which people sometimes, you know, underestimate his attacking abilities. He's a terrific mover, but he's a really attacking player, and he takes the game to you. So I'm excited to be playing against him. The first match is going to be exciting. I think we're going to just keep pushing each other for many years to come. So yeah, I'm excited. It's definitely a team thing again, which also really exciting for us, especially because we've played in college squash and we really loved how, you know, to play squash in a team environment. So it's going to be interesting to talk tactics and strategies and just go up against Victor for the first match.
On the topic of strategy, I wanted to ask you this when we were there, but it's a two-part question here. But what is something that while you were playing it, something you picked up on the strategy, or something that threw you off while you're doing this format? And one other thing I was going to ask is, if there's one thing you could switch about the NSL format, what would it be?
If there's one thing I can switch, I would actually switch. I would do the power plays to be, if you play power play, you can score 2 points. And if you don't get it, and if you're not on the power play, you can still score points, but only 1 point, because I think the power plays, it's a disadvantage for the one who's the power plays used against, because you can just like, you know, keep defending, or, you know, keep, you know, just, but you're not going to get any points. So that's one thing I would actually change. And what else? Anything is, but I think it's a really perfect setup. There's not much to change. I think for players, it's obviously not like, you know, just black and white, because for me, especially, I think, for me, I have to like go in and be completely warm and given my knee and all that stuff. I warm up for like 30, 45 minutes now to like not feel any pain. So like to do on and off and on and off, and just like be not prepared for the first couple of rallies and just be, you know, hesitant to make a lunge. So that's a huge problem. So I think for me, I'm going to look forward to just like, you know, play just to see how my body feels, like try to be as warm as possible and play in that time, and not so much, you know, talking about strategies. And that's what I tried to do with the team board. I was like, guys, I'm warm now. I probably should go. And then you go after. Yeah. So I think that's one of the things that's a disadvantage for me personally, but I think it's a perfect setup. I think I would only change the power plays, honestly. I wouldn't change anything else.
Yeah. And so you're a member of Team Atlanta. You guys are at a minor disadvantage in terms of, or you at least personally are in terms of your teammates, because, you know, Atlanta doesn't get to pick again until pick number 12, because they, you know, get the luxury of getting you first overall. But your team is still shaped out nicely here. I don't think any of these NSL teams are, I don't think any of these teams are outmatched. I think it's going to be a very even season when it comes down to it. And so I was hoping maybe you could tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the rest of the Atlanta roster and where you're at with the rest of your squad and how you're looking forward to the rest of the year.
Two Princeton members.
Yeah, I'm up.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Got a couple Princeton teammates.
Yeah, you and Todd.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think we had even though we did have, you know, the second pick as the last of the second round, we still had a lot of good players and to choose from. And I think I was planning to choose Todd. I think I've seen Todd play recently, had some great wins. I think he has a really good game now. I even practiced with him a lot at the Spectre Center. He has an all-round solid game, and he's probably going to be also like more experienced. I mean, he's played that format before, I believe, but also, you know, he's a veteran. He's been playing for a while, so we can use him as a team captain as well. And just like being based in the U.S. also is an advantage for us. And all the other three players are in the U.S. So yeah, I think Todd is having an all round game. I think Tom is also really good. He's probably like classic English player, you know, plays really solid basic game and waits for an opportunity. So Jeremy as well is has a little bit of flair as well. But he has also, you know, a great game. So I think our team is complete in terms of strategy. I think we have to wait to see who we come up against to kind of like discuss the in-match tactics and to put who at what time and stuff. But in terms of like ability, I think we have, you know, everything.
Yeah, it's a really good squad. And yeah, you have the balance. You have Tom, who's just, like you said, really defensive player, and is going to be good for power play defense, potentially is going to be able to extend a lot of those rallies. And, you know, if you lose it, let's say in the power play, you're on defense and you play two rallies during that power play. They're each a minute long, or they're each 50 seconds long, and you lose both those rallies. That's actually it's a pretty effective power play, because, you know, let's say you'd rather win, or you'd rather lose two rallies in 2 minutes than win three rallies and lose three rallies in,
yeah, that's in correct,
those 2 minutes. So that's the advantage of having someone like that. And then you have someone like you who can end those rallies quickly when you're playing against someone like Tom Walsh on another team. And so that's, you know, that's obviously the importance of having the balance. And, you know, like you said, Todd Herity, kind of Sean and I have talked about this a little bit, coming off injury and is playing arguably the best squash of his career already this year, a 3-0 win over Ian Yao, and then a 5-0 win a couple weeks ago and against Nicky Mueller. So it's really in great form, and looking forward to seeing how he will fare in the NSL format, Sean.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah, we had Sam Sherrill on earlier as well, and I wanted to ask you this. So, do you guys have a group chat going on right now as team members, or not yet?
We do not yet. I think we have a
team chemistry is not looking good, Jax, right now on
the outlook. They need to bring in like Sean and I as honorary captains for the different teams. We'll get the chemistry right. We'll get everything flowing.
We should probably actually start up pretty soon, but I think we have the Instagram profile, Instagram page set up. I love the logo, and I think we have a manager that talks to all of us, so that's kind of like the common between all of us for now, but I think we're gonna get together pretty soon.
Yeah, fantastic. And and Yusuf, last thing for you is, we talked a little bit about your team. Give us the pitch, though. We asked this to Sam earlier today. Give us the pitch for why the Atlanta Tornadoes, led by you, will find themselves at the Arlen Specter Center come June 21st, playing in the finals, and why you will ultimately be victorious. If you had to give us an elevator pitch of why you guys think you're going to find yourselves as champions.
As I said, we definitely have everything in terms of ability and strategy and tactics. It's all probably gonna go down to just like pure nerves and competition and how we perform in the day. I think for me, I'm really, I think it's a different format, so like we sort of like have to prove ourselves in that format. So I think for me, it's a new thing, so we're gonna for me especially, I'm just gonna go with the mentality of like an underdog. You know, we have a good team and everything, but like, you know, it's a new thing for all of us. So if we have to prove that we're one of the top teams, just gotta, you know, perform in the day. And I think I do play my best when I just like, you know, not think too much about, you know, expectations, and just like play on the day and perform on the day. So I'm excited to just like, you know, give 100% for the team. And I'm sure that we are going to have a great chemistry. All the guys on the team are super nice guys, and just easy and chill. And just like, yeah, we're just going to have a good chemistry, as I said. And hope for the best.
Last one I want to quickly put in here. Are you feeling any pressure as the number one pick?
No, not at all. I think, I don't feel pressure. I feel excitement. I think it's I think there's a fine line between like, you know, playing under pressure that you like have to perform and like being just excited. So, like, I feel nerves, but nerves are good for me because it just makes me like, you know, just, you know, really pumped up and want to perform. But I don't feel like I'm scared to like, or like expecting too much from it, because as I said, it's different. I also have like my teammates. I feel like the same way that I felt when I, you know, was at Princeton, because all my teammates were expecting me to win every match. And I still like had to go out and perform, mm-hmm. but it was a good kind of pressure. You know, it wasn't like I'm going to let down. I wasn't feel like I'm going to let down if I lose. I was just feeling more like, you know, they're going to be confident if I do win my match. So I think I feel the same way.
The first ever pick in the history of the National Squash League, getting ready for the inaugural season 2024 for the Atlanta Tornadoes, who play in the South Division. They have regular season matchups against the Derby City Colts and Victor Cruin and Timmy Brownell and the Nashville Crushers. So all the top three overall picks are playing in that same South Division. So it'll be interesting to see who emerges from that group to find themselves at the Arlen Specter Center June 21st in the finals. But Yusuf Ibrahim, thank you for taking the time with us this afternoon. It's greatly appreciated, and good luck this season for Atlanta.
Thanks for having me, Jackson and Sean. Did love it, and yeah, I'm excited for it. Hopefully I'll see you guys in one of the matches soon.
No matter how hard you try, yeah, say everybody's gonna die someday. Yeah, but life goes on. Yeah, life goes on. It's life. Yeah, my thoughts try to bring me down. Yeah, but I can never let it get in my way. Yeah, 'cause life goes on. 'Cause life goes on, it's life. I've been tripping over shit, feel like it's been my whole life. I'm stepping over it, I loop de loop and pull my shit tight. I'm too nice, they say that we always gonna finish last. I'm too hype, ain't nothing to me to make a hater mad. A, B, C, is he is 1, 2, 3. No bad vibes gonna affect my cheek.